This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay, and this program is called
the Special Avian Version of the Wonderful World of 4DD Books.
How you going, Lou? Good to have you here, as always.
Thank you. How are you, Ken? I'm good.
Yeah. Fabulous. All the better for seeing you. You know that.
She is.
Anyway, Lou from Wardini Books. Two places to go and visit. One in Havelock North, one in Hastings Street in Napier. I've got three more fabulous books to look at. And the first one, two Kiwi books, which is marvellous.
Mm.
And the first one is called One Weka Went Walking. Tell us about that one.
Which is why it's the Special Avian Edition. So this is written by Kate Priest and illustrated by Pippa Enzer. And it's published by the fantastic Bateman Books, who are getting quite the shout today because we've got another Bateman published book in a moment. So even on the inside cover, you've got these most incredible, I would say they're watercolour paintings. I'm not an artist, but they look like watercolours to me.
They're marvellous.
Of many, many New Zealand birds, quite often found on the Chatham Islands, because we begin... Oh, actually, I'm going to tell you that. Look at that outline of New Zealand, and then the Chatham Islands down there.
Look at that.
Wharekauri Rekohu. Yeah. Chatham Islands.
You said that very well.
Thank you. I try. And this is One Weka Went Walking out to explore his Chatham Island home from the trees to the shore. Out of his egg for 2 months at best, he longed to know what lay beyond his cup nest. And there he is with his lovely spiky feet. Have you met a weka?
No.
They're cheeky little so-and-sos. They're the thieves, aren't they?
I've met one
down south before. And so you get this beautiful rhyming text, and then at the bottom of every page, you get a fact. So this is in 1905, 12 buff wekas were released on Chatham Island, and today there are tens of thousands living there. So that is a wonderful, wonderful conservation story. And you get a couple of beautiful pictures as well. And Weka's gone walking, and what did he see? A rather plump pigeon high up in a tree. "What is your name?" Weka called from the ground. "Paria," he said, with a deep cooing sound. "My cousin is Kerero, though he's a bit thinner." So you can imagine how fat this one is, because Kerero are whoppers, aren't they?
Yes, you can eat them. They're so big.
Not allowed now. Don't do that, Ken.
That's right, no way.
You'll be arrested.
it's the last thing I need at the moment.
No being arrested.
Right.
And the fun fact is that the paria is among the world's largest pigeons, and it weighs more than a loaf of bread.
Wow, it's big.
It's a whopper. And then off little Weka goes, and who does he meet? He meets, you know that one,
Mr. Tui.
And there are two gorgeous pictures, and there's sort of like line drawings there, and we know the shape of that it's Kōwhai, and Mr. Weka will just sit Mr. Tui will sit there and scoff all that.
We have got them in our garden.
Yeah.
And we bought special feeders for them, and they hang around, and it's awesome to see that they can come into your garden, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they sound just amazing, don't they?
Beautiful, aren't they?
We have the best bird song in Aotearoa.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, One Weka went walking, and what did he eat? The crunchy brown wetter that fell at his feet. Whoops. And then we meet a tiny black robin. We meet a parakeet, so Forbes parakeet. We meet, I was going to say cormorant, it's a shag. Somebody said to me the other day that if you think it's a cormorant, it's a shag.
Oh, right. I thought it was the same thing.
I don't know.
Shags and cormorants aren't the same.
I don't know. And then an oyster catcher and all sorts of birds and the adventure of the weka as he goes through. And it's the beautiful rhyming text and these incredibly special illustrations. They really are, aren't they?
They are lovely.
So I think this is going to be a new New Zealand classic that goes into every child's home. It'd be a really good baby shower present or something like that, wouldn't it?
And a book would appeal to everyone, not just kids.
No, I think artists, because the art is top-notch. Yeah. And anyone interested in identifying birds.
Exactly. I wouldn't know half of them. So it'd be beautiful to have that, wouldn't it?
Well, I suppose some of them will be special to the Chatham Islands as well. So we need to get on down there to Rekohu and have a look at their wildlife.
Never been there. You been there?
No, I haven't. No. I think Kat that works with me has been there and she loved it.
It's a wild and woolly.
Wild and woolly, that sounds good. Perfect for wekas. Wild woolly wekas.
Wild woolly wekas. And our next book that we're going to have a look at is called All the Broken Places. What's that all about?
Yeah, I'm going to sandwich the Bateman New Zealand books with John Boyne in the middle, Irish author. published by Penguin in the UK. And this is the sequel to The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Oh, yes. That was quite a depressing book, wasn't it?
It was a traumatic book of the Second World War, the Holocaust, where a little boy called Bruno, whose father is in charge of one of the death camps, he meets a little boy that's wearing striped pyjamas through a fence. And because they're little boys, they just become friends. Yes. They don't know that one's from a Nazi family and one's from a Jewish family. And there is a terrible, terrible tragedy alongside the tragedy of the Holocaust, you know. So 6 million Jews dying and one little Nazi boy who's not his fault, is it?
No, of course not.
So that's The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. And this is an and that was kind of for children, okay? That was sold into the children's market, but lots of grown-ups read it, and of course there was a film. Now, this is the sequel. This is definitely for grown-ups because this is about Bruno's sister, Gretel, and she's 91 now, and she lives in London, and she's been in London for decades. But she was at the concentration camp when it was liberated, when her father was hung, when she and her mother had to go on the run, basically. They left. And they had to go from place to place until they found a safe haven. And it drove her mother mad because she was from the higher echelons of society, never really gave up the idea that Jews were lesser than human. And so Gretel was brought up with that kind of ideology, suspecting that it was wrong. She was the girl that did nothing to save her brother, to save any of those children in the camp. But she was a child herself.
Yes.
So the whole sort of premise of the novel is, how much responsibility does Gretel bear? And how much can she change that in her later life? So she's in this beautiful building and she lives in the flats, and there's a famous film director and his wife and their child that move in next door. And she can tell that something's going off in that family. And so it sort of pivots around, does she just look the other way? Does she do something? But it's got everything that happened to her since she left, since they went on the run. And it's quite incredible, very readable, quite funny. John Boyne can be very funny and very human. So you don't have to have read The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas to read this, because I have never read that book.
No.
For the reasons I said, I know how it ends. Yes. I don't need to read that. But it made me want to go back and read it, because he's such a beautiful writer. He can put horrible, horrible things in a palatable sentence.
And is it a novel based on fact? Obviously.
No, I mean, there's a lot of fact in it around the concentration camps and the history of the time. But no, it's pure fiction with these characters. Yeah.
And are we going to be uplifted at the end, do you think?
I think you are, because she's from the other side. You know, she was from a Nazi family. And it's how it affected her as a child and how she survived and the incredible things that happen. I mean, there's so much more to it than I've told you, because I can't tell you too much because of spoilers, obviously.
Of course.
But there are other people living in this building that are very special to Gretel. And she comes across as quite a hard-nosed old lady, but is she really?
No, you know, softy at heart.
What's going on in those 91 years?
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Tell us about Tarquin the Honest.
Tarquin the Honest.
You know a bit about this one.
I do. I will be honest that this is written by my husband, Gareth Ward, who is an incredibly clever writer and a funny writer. And that's not just because I'm related to him. I would just kind of ignore him if he wasn't. So this is the first in a series, Tarquin the Honest, The Hand of Glod. And it is a fantasy adventure based on some Dungeons and Dragons characters. Gareth played Tarquin the Honest, so there's a lot of his psyche in there. And he has a gnome rogue thieving sidekick called Luna, who was played in the game by our friend Bex, who is a artist and graphic designer, Bex Bloomfield, who has designed the cover of the book.
And it is a great cover.
And it's been picked up by Bateman Books in New Zealand. So it's on sale everywhere. And it is an incredible cover, isn't it? It's gold foiled and startling.
It looks sort of very fantasy.
Yeah. So we can tell the genre of the book from the beginning. Tarquin is a wizard, and he is called Tarquin the Honest, and his catchphrase is, "You've probably heard of me." And then the person he's speaking to went, "No, I can't say I have." You know, and so he's on this quest for glory. He's after the Hand of Glod, so he's on this mission. There is a very specific reason why he's on this mission that we will find out in due course. And he and Luna, the thief, they team up together quite a bit. they wouldn't say they were friends. They say they tolerate each other. So there's a lot of teasing and a lot of kind of nasty jibes at each other, but they can't really do without one without the other. So they rub along together okay. Now, they recruit a drake called Akra, who is sort of almost like a, in my head, Dungeons and Dragons heads might correct me on this, but sort of a lizardy creature that's sort of fireproof, breathes fire. Tarkin's quite scared of Akra, really. And then a an orc, a half-orc, with very little brain but a great deal of brawn, a handsome half-orc called Ustin. And this sort of merry band of travellers go off on this quest together. And they have to overcome lots of difficulties, and Tarquin running away in times of danger. But he's one of those characters where it looks like he's a coward, it looks like he's a liar, it looks like he's all these things, but when you read between the lines, there's a lot more to Tarquin and the friendships that that meets the eye.
And you mentioned that's the first in a series. How many books about Tarquin will there be, or is that a...
I don't know yet. He's written the second one, and the second one will come out next year, so that's a done deal. And then I don't know what will happen with Tarquin after that, but I think he's a character that we will all become familiar with and we will know and love, and it's got that really sort of Terry Pratchett-esque humour in it. It's a very funny book.
And who's going to appeal to?
I think it's a grown-up book this time. It's not necessarily for children, so probably 15 and up, because there's a lot of fighting and a bit of rude wordplay in there. So anyone that likes a laugh, anyone that can do a bit of fantasy, give it a go. Yeah.
And does the book have a natural end? Is it self-contained, or does it lead on to the second book?
No, the quest finishes.
Yes.
And it has a natural end. So you're not left hanging.
No, you're not going to miss out if you don't buy the
next
one.
And you will be uplifted by this one, because the characters are so gorgeous.
I love being uplifted.
You do, don't you, Ken?
And if you want to get any of these fabulous books, where do you get them?
I really think you should come to Wardini Books. You won't regret it.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.